class was on Abraham's encounter with the angels, and we explained it as a vision, and we went through all the detail. That the audio file is online on the audio link. So if you missed that, you can hear it. And the question came up as to what was the understanding of these angels as they encountered Lot. Okay, Chaim, thank you. And what happens is that I'll read you from the story, I'll translate it. So it says that the two angels now came to Sodom. So this is where Lot, who was the nephew of Abraham, had chosen to reside. And we understand that God already told Abraham that he was going to consider whether to destroy Sodom or not based on the evil cry that came to him. However, the Torah does not describe at all what the evil is that God's talking about that is demands God's annihilation of Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities, those five cities. So that's one big question. What exactly is the evil? What demanded that God wipe them out? So God communicates with Abraham that he is going to destroy them. He engages Abraham in a discussion, and some say that he was asking God not to. I did not see that in the verses. The verses seem to imply that he's just discussing with God and trying to learn God's method of justice. What number of people are necessary in order that God would spare the evil? So God was teaching Abraham a new concept that he could not have known. That's what we said last week. The verse that says, where God talks to Abraham, and God says, am I going to keep hidden from Abraham what I'm going to do? And he's going to be a great and mighty nation. And that is in verse 18, 17. So you see the God, when he says, well, I keep hidden from Abraham what he's going to do, it means that if God does not communicate certain ideas, so that's not an area that man can penetrate with his mind. There's only a certain amount that the human mind can discern by studying the world. And the great large portion, which is in God's realm, we cannot know unless he communicates through prophecy. So that was God's intent on engaging Abraham and giving him a clue that he's going to descend to see whether he will annihilate Sodom and those cities based on the evil of the cry, or whether he's not going to annihilate them. So that caused Abraham to wonder why God should not annihilate the evil people. After the discussion is over, Abraham understands that if there are 10 righteous people, God will not annihilate them. However, there weren't 10 righteous people. So at this point, Lot, which we have to understand, is going to be saved. Is it because he's merely a descendant of Abraham? Or is that insufficient grounds to save somebody just because you're related to somebody? Okay. Let me just help out. Rivka's having a problem with the audio. I just want to type into her a message. Okay. So now the angels come to Sodom, and here's where we start the story. The two angels now come to Sodom. Originally there were three, but the one angel that announced the tidings of Abraham having a child in a year completed its mission, so there's no purpose for it anymore. So now only two angels left. What are the two angels? The mission that they have. And again, we said angels are forces that God creates and governs the natural world. So one angel was to destroy Sodom. The other angel is to save Lot. And that's why there are two that came to Sodom. Now what happens? So the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. And Lot was sitting in the gates of the city. Evidently, the gates is where you can see all the foot traffic, who's coming in, and you can be hospitable to people. So they came to the city. Lot was sitting in the gates, and Lot saw them. And he He arose to greet them, and he bowed down his face to the ground to give them honor. And he said, please, my master, turn please to the house of your servant, and you could lodge the night, you could wash your feet, and get up in the morning, and you can go on your way. And the angel said back, no, but we will sleep in the street. But first oddity. Okay. And the response is that Lot then presses upon them very much, and they turned to him, they conceded, and they came to his house, and he made a feast, and he made matzos, which he baked, and they ate. And before they even lied down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, had gathered upon the house, from young person to the elderly. All the people from all around. And they called to Lot, and they said, where are these men that came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them. And clearly they're interested in having homosexual relations with them. So homosexuality was very dominant. Evidently you see, because it says it was from Minara and Zokin, from the young people to the old man, all the men, all the people gathered. And they said, so that the mob had no type of, there was no couth. They had no problem of any type of a mass engagement by all of the people with these men. The Yetzel Em Lot, so Lot went out to the door of his house, and he shut the door behind him, and he said, my brothers, don't do this way. Don't do this evil. Okay. Okay, let me just help Rivka one more time, please. Okay, so now he goes out and tries to speak to them, and he says, please don't do this evil. And he says further, this is what Lot says now, listen to this. He says, behold, now I have to me two daughters that have never had intercourse with men. I'll bring them now to you, and you can do with them what's good in your eyes, but to these men, don't do anything, don't do this matter, for as they have come under the shelter of my house. So Viomro, the people of Sodom now respond to Lot, and they say, come over here. And one of them said, you have come to dwell, and you're now going to judge us? Now we're going to do more evil to you than we're going to do to the men. And they pressed upon Lot exceedingly, and they were about to break the door. Interesting statement. So now the men that are in the house, evidently they're inactive this whole time. As Lot goes out, and he has this discussion, and then they respond, and they say, you came here just to be to dwell with us, and now you're going to judge us? Because what was Lot doing? He was now saying to them, don't do this, but do that. Don't touch these men, but here are my two daughters, and do with them as what pleases in your eyes. So we have to understand what type of response is that. So now the men didn't like this. They said, well, you're judging us. Now we're going to be more evil to you than to these two men. And they pressed upon him, and they were going to break the door. So these men sent their hand outside, and they brought Lot to them inside the house, and they shut the door. And to the men that were at the opening of the house, these two angels smote them with blindness. And now it says, who did they smite? They didn't smite the nar to the zaken. It doesn't say the young lad to the elderly, but it said the youngest to the oldest. Changes it for some reason. And they were loathing to try to find the door. Even after they were smitten with blindness, what was the reaction of the people? They were still trying to find the door to get inside. Okay, so that's really what we're going to be taking up, is up to that point. Afterwards, they tell Lot, who else do you have here? Any daughters? Any sons? Sons-in-law? Because we're going to destroy this place that God has decreed it over here. And they go into another discussion. What I want to take up is primarily what we read up to this point. In terms of what's the whole series of events from the time that the angels arrive at Sodom, from when Lot first sees them, his invitation, their response, no, we're going to sleep in the street, and then his pressing on them, and they finally give in, and then the story of the men of Sodom that come around the house, and then they say to Lot, bring out these men, we want to know them, we want to have intercourse with them. And Lot offers them an alternative arrangement, and they say, you just came to dwell with us, and now you're going to judge us? You're going to try and tell us what to do? Now we're going to be more evil to you than we were going to be to these men. There's a very strange series of events, so we have to understand what's going on. And as they press on the door, and they start to be hostile towards Lot, so the angels put their hands outside, they grab Lot, they bring him inside the house, shut the door, and then the angels smite everybody with blindness, but yet the people still try to find the door to get in. Okay, so let's stop here and let's see if you have any of your own questions or observations. And Brian is writing, did they actually see men that were angels? Okay, you mean, is this a literal event or not? Well, we know that the destruction of Sodom is definitely literal. But when we talk about angels, as we said last week, quoting Maimonides, anytime you have an account in the Torah and it mentions angel, it means that the event was not something which took place physically on earth. It was a vision or a prophecy of some sort. It took place in the person's mind, in their thoughts. That does not detract from the truth of the message, but it does have to be interpreted then based on that. All right, Shoshana, go ahead, type your message. I'll wait for you to see it in there. All right, so again, those are the facts, but now let's see if you have any observations or questions. Let me pause at this point. And again, if you missed any part of the class, it's being recorded, so you can hear it online afterwards at the audio link. All right, so Carolyn, you're asking, why would Lot offer his daughters? Of course, right, obvious. What type of a person is this? And he still deserves to be saved. Where do we see that there's any deservance to be saved? So you must say that there was a certain level of promiscuity or a certain line that Lot was willing to cross. He would go so far in his sense of morality. And his sense of morality was that his daughters and the sexual favors was something which he could tolerate in terms of his way that he viewed the world. I mean, keep in mind, why is Lot living in Sodom? He could have picked anywhere to live. Why do you think he's living there? You must say that there is some type of an attraction that Lot had to this place. And that's seen in the fact that he chose to live there. All right, Shoshana, you're saying, okay, Sodom was a complex place in terms of hospitality and wealth and cruelty to strangers. There's one teaching about Lot's daughter being charitable and being raped, being wrapped. I'm not sure, being wrapped in honey for beasts to attack. So in the message, and the knowing, why does it always come down to this? So then you're saying about angels, does this go back to the B'nai Elohim? In your opinion, no, the B'nai Elohim, that is referring to judges, the sons of judges that had power, so they took any woman that they wanted at the end of Genesis. And Chaim and Munsi, you're saying, is Hashem justifying his future destruction? Well, he didn't get destroyed. Lot did not get destroyed. He got saved. And going back to Shoshana, your point about they put honey on somebody and the bees, and they came and they stung the person. I'm not sure what your point is about that and what you mean by the knowing. But what I'm saying just up to this point is that the story has to be telling us, if we're saying that it's a vision, so that means it's giving us information regarding Sodom, regarding Lot, and, you know, deeper insight into God's justice here. Because this is a story about God's justice. And let me see if anybody else has any comments or questions before we start to approach the answers. So again, just what I mentioned up to this point, we want to know why. Let me see, Shoshana just wrote one more line. That they would deliberately harm to death strangers with wealth in one way or another. They hated the poor, and the citizens wanted to know if they were poor or rich. Okay, so yeah, there's definitely a distorted state of morality in Sodom. And again, like we see that they a complete mob was ready to take two men and abuse them physically, sexually. And although Lot didn't go that far, he still did volunteer his daughters, but yet, nonetheless, he was still worthy of being saved. So I'm not sure that here the story is telling us about the inhabitants of Sodom and their interest in wealth. It seems to be purely a story about the lust and the homosexuality of the inhabitants of Sodom. So again, let's just repeat the question. So why did they stay in the street when Lot invited them in? And he had a press on them, and they finally, sounds like, you know, reluctantly they gave in. And what exactly is Sodom's sin? And why doesn't Lot partake of that? Because Lot's being saved, along with his daughters and his wife, if she had not turned back. And so what exactly is Lot's merit? And what is this blindness that the two angels see that Lot goes outside, then he starts to. It's interesting. They don't stop Lot from exiting the house. They let him go out. Then, when they start having this conversation with Lot, they say, "You're going to judge us. We'll do more evil to you." So they pull Lot in and they smite the people in the street with blindness. An interesting thing we noted is that when they first come to the mob comes to Lot's house, it says they came from all the corners of the entire society, all the people, the entire nation came, from young man to the old, from Nar to the Zakane. So that's a description in terms of social status. But when they were smiting the youth to the elderly, you know, it describes them in terms of social status. But when it says when the angels smote them with the blindness, it says they smote them from the young to the old. So it changes it for some reason. Okay, so let me see if you have any other comments or questions before we try to tackle the issues. Okay, so let me give you my suggestions on what's going on. And you'll see it's I'm basing myself in the text itself. And let's take the first question. What does it mean that the angel is staying in the street when Lot goes to invite them in? See, in contrast to Abraham, so the angels came and it said that they stood upon him, meaning they came for Abraham, and they waited upon him, and there was a meaning to say that there was a positive message. There was a purpose here. Something positive was going on. Okay, Chaim is saying destruction of Sodom, right? Okay, I agree. Hashem is justifying the future destruction of Sodom, right? So he's explaining to us in the story what the justification is. So we're being told that the angels are, when they come to Lot, they're not waiting on him. So that indicates right off the bat that's a different type of a mission than by Abraham when they came to positively announce this trial. They were giving something. They were going to benefit Abraham. Whereas in the case of Lot, we're told right off the bat that the angels want to sleep in the street. What does it mean? It means in this vision that they're not here for a positive thing for Lot. It's merely to save him from the negative. They're really there just to act to save him from, they're there to destroy Sodom, but God decreed that Lot should be saved. We'll have to understand why. So that it's not there to give something positive to Lot. It's just to hold back the devastation from reaching Lot. So they're going to help him escape. So that's what I believe the first message is, that they say, we're staying in the street. We're not coming into your house. We're not here for any type of a positive mission as we were with Abraham. Okay, so right from the outset, there's a message. It's not just unnecessary or superfluous detail. And the Torah tells you that there's a point that they make that Lot invites him to the house, but then they said, no, we'll stay in the street. There's a meaning behind that. But he presses them, meaning to say that he insists on the hospitalities. He had a certain level of justice. And his method of justice, you see that it actually shares with the Sodomites level, because it uses the same word in Genesis 19:9, when Lot hears that the angels say, no, we're going to stay in the street. So Lot responds by pushing them, pressing upon them, and insisting. So he was insistent. So that means he worked with a certain method. He didn't, the right type of method of justice and charity. Is a person refuses something, you don't press them. But some people have the view where it's you must follow through with your offer, otherwise it's you're not really fulfilling your righteousness. It depends on the act. It doesn't depend on the intent. The truth is really it depends on the intent. That's what the Talmud says, that if a person's on his way to do a mitzvah, and he somehow, something happens, it's out of his control, he's going to the temple, he's going to shul, on the Shabbos, and he breaks his leg and he can't get there, he receives reward as if he went. Because the commitment to do the commitment to do that mitzvah was already expressed in action. If he was just sitting in his house and he says, I'm going to go to temple today, but he doesn't get off his couch, so then you can't say that he had the commitment, because commitment is measured. The barometer of true conviction is action. So you have to put into action your commitment. Otherwise, you really aren't committed. So if a person does get off the couch and starts walking to temple on Saturday morning, but then some bicyclist runs into him and breaks his leg, so now he still receives reward as if he went. Meaning that it doesn't mean that there's some sort of a gold chest in heaven, that another gold coin or gold star is put in there. He gets his reward. Reward means that he's now reached the level of perfection where his actions demonstrated his conviction that going to temple and praying together with other Jews is of value to him. So he put it into action. He had that commitment. If some external circumstance prevents him, that doesn't take away any of his conviction. Okay, Sterling, I'm glad you could hear the class. Okay. And Rivka, can you hear? It doesn't look like you had a problem for the past 10, 15 minutes. So if you just type on screen, Rivka, that the audio is okay, that'd be good. We'll make sure that you can hear as well. Okay, so now we understand that there's a distinction in terms of Lot's type of justice, that he pressed on them. But you see that that's something which the people in Sodom also had. They pressed on Lot, but they didn't like what he said. They're going to insist on their method, but that was the evil type of insistence. So it's interesting that they use the same word, Vayiftsuru. In 19:9, you see the word Vayiftsuru Beish, that blood, that, excuse me, not 19:9, Vayiftsur Bum, 19:3, where Lot pressed and he insisted that the angels come to them. Okay, so they come to the house. Again, and we're having, this is still a vision, it's giving us information. And before they even lie down to go to sleep, it says the men of the city, the men of Sodom, had circled the house, they encompassed the house. From the youth until the old age people. Interesting that there's no type of strata in this society. In typical society, you have different strata of people, then they have their own cliques, The young hang out with the young, and the old hang out with the old, and the middle-aged with the middle-aged. But here that wasn't the case. The drive was purely lustful and oppressive, and they would take whoever they wanted, and they just told Lot, bring them out. We're not taking no for an answer. And there was no difference whether they were youth or whether they were the old. They all came, they wanted to have intercourse with these new men that excited them, and that was it, the entire society. And it says also that they came from all around, Mikotze. In 19:4, it says that these people came from where? From all edges of the city. And they called to Lot, and they said, bring out these men so we can know them. So Lot goes out. Let me just answer. Sterling has a question. So this is not a dream like Abraham? No, it is a vision, Sterling. You're curious about this interaction between Lot and angels and the people of Sodom. So this is actually a vision because it is talking about the angels. It does mention angels here. So it's depicting for us the specific information that God wanted to communicate to us in terms of the level of Lot, why he was saved, the level of Sodom, because it doesn't say anywhere earlier why God's going to destroy Sodom. When God spoke to Abraham earlier, he says that the cry is great, but does not say anywhere what the cry is about. What's the evil that demands the annihilation of Sodom and these four other cities? Now we have to detect from this story, which is where the Torah ends its whole discussion of Sodom. After this, we don't hear about Sodom again. There are other places, maybe the prophets, and it talks about the additional factors, but here should be where we could find out the evil. Now, even though there were evil, this story itself is depicting specifics in a vision of some sort that was communicated to Lot, because Lot is having the discussion with the angels. That means that there's something going on in Lot's mind. It does not mean that Sodom wasn't destroyed. Of course, Sodom was destroyed. But what God is doing here is depicting specific elements that are crucial for us to know about what was the justice. And Shoshana, you're asking, what kind of angels? This is what confuses me. Sages are clear on different types, their purpose and situations. Okay, so we mentioned last time that there are different types of angels. Angel can mean a physical force that God employs for like splitting the Red Sea. So, and King David talks about it in Baruch Nafshi, in one of his psalms, and he says that God makes the wind and fire his messengers. So that means that a messenger, an angel, is the same thing. A force of nature that God uses on earth to accomplish something is called an angel. An angel also can be the intelligence. There's two things, actually. There's an intelligence that controls the natural force. Now, we quoted the verse in Exodus that says that by the Red Sea, that God had, when the Egyptians were chasing after the Jews and about to meet up with them and attack them, so God moved the angel that was in front of the Jews to the back of the Jews to act some way. And then it says God moved the cloud that was in front of the Jews to the back of the Jews. Again, clearly to be a wall between the Egyptians and the Jews, so the Jews can get safe passage. They can escape. But the question we ask, why does it say it twice? It says God moved the angel from the front of the Jews to the back of the Jews, and then he moved the cloud from the front of the Jews to the back of the Jews. So what I explained is that it's telling you that God first instructs an angel, which has intelligence, just like human beings have intelligence. An angel has intelligence, but no body. And God appoints an angel over a certain realm of the physical world. So there could be an angel that controls a cloud. There could be another angel that controls the fire. So that's how God interacts with the physical world. I'm not saying what they are. I'm saying what they do. So that's why the verse has two things. It first talks about an angel that God tells to move to the back of the Jews and protect them. Then the angel acts, and the angel moves the cloud, which it has the ability to govern. Now, in our story here, this is a vision. So now these are the intelligences that are about to control and destroy Sodom and save Lot, but there still is in Lot's mind, there still is this, he's engaging in some sort of a dialogue with these intelligences. So that's what the angels are over here. Okay, Shoshana? Hope it's clear. So until they actually start controlling and destroying Sodom, so now they're purely described as just intelligences that that Lot is having a dialogue with in his vision. And as the rabbis say, all prophets, except for Moses, had to be unconscious when they had a vision, because a vision tapped all of your energy that you couldn't have any control over your body. Moses was the only one that was able to stand up and be awake and actually have a discussion with God or the angel, even while he was in a conscious state. Okay, Shoshana. Good, I'm glad. I'll take that as a first step. Okay, good. So now what happens? So now, Lot goes outside when these men are encompassing the house. And what's interesting is, what you tell me, what's interesting about the fact that it says, before the angels even lied down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, had encompassed the house from the youth to the elderly, all of the people from all edges of the city. What would you deduce from that? So it would seem to be highly unlikely that an entire city, everybody, it would be such a sudden thing and they would even know about it. How would they even know about this isolated incident? It's not like you had the great forms of communication back then. So this would seem to indicate to me that it's telling us this is not happening literally. It's part of the vision. It does show an accurate statement, like Brian is saying, that they were all corrupt. And Sterling, your writing also, it shows the level of their lust to love. Yes, exactly. So Sterling and Brian, I agree 100%. But the fact that it's telling us how extreme it was, it seems to be a little bit difficult for it to actually occur in such a short period of time without communication. And how would they even know that these men came to Lot? And it was nighttime, it says in the beginning of the story. So how do they see it? All right, so that seems to indicate another subtle clue that this is a vision. There's one more clue that indicates it's a vision. And that's when the angels smite them with blindness. What would you think would typically be the response if you had a mob that all of a sudden they all simultaneously went blind? What do you think should be the response? And you can take a look at what the response was. It says in 1911. Right, Jim, exactly. Panic, not continuance. But they continued. 1911 says that the men that were at the opening of the house were smitten, clearly by the angels, with blindness from the young to the old, and they still loathed to find the door. Right, fear, chaotic, Carol, Sterling, exactly. So you see, there's another clue given to you in the story that, again, indicates, and you have to be sensitive to this. That's why when you read these stories, you have to understand that every word, every verse is being written because it's all contributing and it's all essential to our understanding. It's not just simplified, this information. I mean, the Rambam does talk about it. He does talk about it, and he says that sometimes you have a lot of details that just to give you the backdrop, but they're still essential. But here, I believe that these details are crucial. They're not just to give you a backdrop. Yes, Sterling, right, exactly. It shows how evil the people were, how corrupt. But you still would think that there would be some panic of some sort. Okay. Now we start to get a picture as to what the corruption was of Sodom. That seems to be, clearly illustrated now. We see the level. that all strata of society were completely wrapped up in a hedonistic lifestyle and no justice whatsoever. And I think it was very crucial now. I'm going to read to you the dialogue one more time. I want you to tell me what you get from this dialogue. So now the men encompass the house. Lot goes outside. So this is now 19:6. And he shuts the door. 19:7. Right? It's Yutes Zion, Pasuk Zion, verse 7. So Lot says to the men, and he says, "Do not do this, my brothers. Don't do this evil. Behold, I have two daughters that have never known a man. I'll bring them out to you, and you can do with them how it pleases you in your eyes. But to these men, do not do anything, for as they have come under the roof of my house." And they say back to Lot, "Come here," they say to him. So one of them said to Lot, "You have come just to dwell in our city, and now you're going to certainly start judging us? What do they mean you're going to judge us? It means that you're telling us what to do. We want these men, and now you're telling us, no, take your daughters." So now they said to him, "You know what, Lot? We're going to be more evil to you than we were going to be to them." Clearly, that was an admission that these men were going to abuse. The men of Sodom were going to abuse these angels. And they pressed upon Lot, and they were about to break the door. So what can you say about this? And at that point, that's when the angels bring Lot back into the house. And then they smite them with the blindness. Okay. Okay, Brian, yes, they still proceeded despite the blindness. And Shoshana, you're writing, you can understand everything human. That, for me, is easy. And I follow Rambam a lot. There's just still something missing to me in the identity of the angels. Okay, so you're saying you have a difficulty understanding what we mean by angels or the story. Well, the story, again, we have to understand, is a vision that's being presented to Lot's mind. It's a story that God, it's sort of like God creating a painting for one person to look at and to understand. That was the same thing with Abraham, we said. God gave a vision to Abraham. Let me see if I can illustrate it to you, Shoshana. See, we discussed last week that God gave a vision to Abraham of him seeing these men. And then Abraham responds. And he expresses his kindness and runs to serve them. Five times, we said, it says in the verses that he ran to get the animals. He ran to get the butter. And to ran to his wife to make some cakes for them, some bread to eat. And he ran to the young man to prepare the meat. So he was doing this in order to show the men how much he wanted to serve them. You could just walk and serve somebody, or you could run and make the person that you're serving feel that much more appreciated. Look, I'm expending greater energy, and I'm humiliating myself for you. I'm running. I'm not just taking my time. That means I'm showing that it's important. And Abraham understood that making a person feel good is part of how you serve. The person needs some food. You don't just throw the sandwich at him and walk away. That's a degrading thing. Same thing with charity. You can't just give charity. The law in the Shulchan Aruch says that when you give charity, you have to commiserate with the person as well. And then you also have to give him enough charity that he could get back to the normal lifestyle that he had, that you can reinstate the level of ego. His self-esteem is what's important. So Abraham knew this even without a Torah. He understood human nature. So that's why he was running. But God gave him this vision in order that Abraham himself can see that he's now serving people so well. Now, what happens after that? God tells them about the possible destruction of Sodom, and he engages Abraham. Meaning to say, the first part of the vision is the cause for the second part. And we explain that to mean that the first part of the vision, meaning your kindness to people, Abraham, is why I, God, am going to communicate to you a new level of divine justice that you could not discern on your own. There's certain areas of knowledge, like we said earlier today, there's certain areas of knowledge, or many areas of knowledge, that are closed off to the mind, that you cannot tear through those veils. We have a limited ability as human beings. That's what God said to Moses. Moses wanted to know God's true essence. God responded, "Man cannot know me while you're alive. In your physical state, everything has to come through one of your five senses. And since I, God, am not physical, there's no way that your senses can have any type of an understanding of what I am while you're alive, while you're dependent upon your senses." And that's what God said to Moses. "You can't know me while alive." in your physical state where you're a sensual being, and all knowledge has to be somehow tied to the physical senses. You see something, you learn about it. You hear something, you learn about it. You touch it. But you can't learn about something if it doesn't go through one of the five senses. So God explained to Moses, you don't have the capacity to know what I am. God says, I understand your desire, Moses, to want to have a real understanding of what God is, but in your physical state, you can't. So the same thing by Abraham. There's a certain limit that he had in terms of knowledge of God's justice. But God said in the Torah, and we read this last week, that since Abraham was going to be a great leader and teach others the ways of God's charity and justice and righteousness, so therefore God wanted Abraham to have an additional knowledge that he could now teach others. And because God's goal is that the world has knowledge, greater knowledge of God. That's why we're here. That's why the human being has intelligence and no other creature has it. That clearly indicates what our goal is. So God wants to impart that. But he explains to Abraham in this vision, you see how you're running and you're serving other people and how kind you are and how much you care about people? This is why I am going to give you additional knowledge, because you're the type of person that cares about spreading this knowledge to other people. You care about people to that point that you serve them like this. You're the one that's befitting that you gain new knowledge. So that's why God gave a vision of Abraham running and so on. It was Abraham's true personality that was being expressed in the vision. Abraham knew that. God wasn't making him run. God painted the picture of the three men, and this is what Abraham saw while he was unconscious. But then his response, you could say, is like similar to your response in the dream. It's you in the dream that's actually doing the acting and the talking. So here, Abraham was, it was to his benefit, it was his merit that he was treating these three angels that way. And because of that, God gives him the second part of the vision, and he teaches him. Okay, so here also, with the vision of Lot, God is giving a vision to Lot, and then he responds a certain way. And he's now going to educate Lot in terms of why he's saved and why the men of Sodom are being destroyed. Because Lot didn't know about the destruction. That's why the angels later on tell him that we're here to destroy. He wasn't even aware of it. But Lot is being told that you did go out to the men and you did invite them into your house. So good, you have a certain level of justice. Not only that, we see in the story that Lot went out to these men who surrounded his house and tried to discuss with them and offer an alternative. So you see, he was working with a certain sense of justice. That, I believe, is why it immediately follows that once he went out and the men said to him, you're going to try to judge us? You're going to try to use justice? Meaning, Lot, you are using some level of justice in your life. That demands why you're going to be saved. But the men of Sodom said, no, we're not into justice. You want to judge us? You want to use justice? No, we're going to be more evil to you. Now, think about that. They're saying, the Sodomites are saying to, it's probably where we get the term from, to sodomize. They get it from Sodom, because it's taking it from this biblical story of a sexual intent that's abusive and homosexual in nature. So they're saying to Lot, you want to use justice? You want to, whatever the justice, whether it's a good justice, a bad justice, but you want to use some sort of a judgment on us? Now we're going to be more evil to you than them. What does it tell you? It tells you that the men of Sodom did not work, they didn't function with any measure of justice. Meaning to say, they were now going to be more evil to the Lot just because he used justice. So if you want to illustrate who's the most unjust type of a person, is it a person who has no justice? Or would you say it's a person who attacks the judges? Who's worse? A person who doesn't use justice in his life? Or another person who attacks judges? So of course it's the second person. Because not only does he not use justice, but he wants to destroy the element of justice in the society. So that's what these men are saying. You want to judge us, Lot? Now we're going to be more evil to you than we were going to be to the men. Because since you embody justice, and that's completely outside of what our value system is, you now become a greater target. So I want you to see how the conversation works out, that it illustrates what element in Lot demanded that he have salvation because he had some merit, and what was the cruelty, what was the level of deterioration of Sodom that they were deserving of annihilation. So you see, this conversation actually brings it out. It's not just that they didn't have justice, but they attacked those who try to administer justice. And there are stories that the rabbis bring where they say that if in Sodom, if you hurt somebody and you wounded somebody, you're the one that has to pay. Right? The one that gets wounded has to pay, not the one who hits. So they said there was a story like that, where either Lot or Abraham said he came to in front of the judge, and the judge said to the person, we understand that you got wounded by this Sodomite guy. So now pay the Sodomite guy for wounding you. So Lot picked up the rock, and he threw it at the judge and wounded the judge. And he said to the judge, okay, you just got wounded by me. You pay the guy what I was going to pay him. Meaning he used it against him. But it's trying to illustrate the point how their whole system of, they had an opposite system of justice. Okay, let me just see any comments on screen. Let me just pause over here. So Shoshana, you're writing a couple of notes. In this one, who are they in the vision? I know they are different ones. I'm not sure who you're talking about. I mean, I assume we're talking about the angels. What are they? The angels, again, are the intelligences that govern the forces of the physical law, of the physical laws. So, but they can communicate. They are intelligences, just like you and I can talk. So an angel has the ability to communicate with a man in a vision. So when this dialogue is going on between Lot and the angels, so it's telling you that there's a certain reluctance in the angels to come into Lot's house. They're not really there to benefit him. That's why it says we want to stay in the street. But when we now move on to Lot discussing with the men of Sodom, that's now presenting to Lot information as to why he was deserving. It's for him to see. God's painting this vision. And he's giving Lot an opportunity to act out in the vision. And Lot acts out in the vision. And it's a way for Lot to see, you see, Lot, this is what the people are in Sodom, and this is what you are, how you act. You have a certain measure of justice. The men don't have any. And then when Lot is finally told by the angels that they're going to destroy the city, now he understands why. Because in the vision, God communicated in these visuals what the devastating level of the Sodomites are and what certain minimal measure of merit that Lot had. Okay, so I hope that's clear. All right, Rivka, thank you. Okay. So, but you see, you have to really look at the verses to see what's going on. We tend to read the Torah like we read a storybook. That's just there to give us, you know, it paints a picture, you know, but we don't understand, you know, God is writing this. We have to stop and understand what is the necessity for this verse. What's the necessity for the next verse? What am I being communicated here? And then, of course, when we start coming up with our own questions, God says to Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Well, why the Torah doesn't tell us why? Finally, we see that something is being described about the nature of the people. Okay, Shoshana, I'm glad you enjoyed the answer. Yoni and PA, let's see what you're saying. If one of the angels appear, it is a vision or a dream. Does that mean Lot dreamt being attacked by the crowd and offering his daughters? Yes, Yoni. This is all part of the vision or the dream. And you continue, and you're right. It seems he knew that strangers would be attacked by the men, so that's why he invited them in right away without washing their feet first. No, I wouldn't make that jump. I wouldn't make that jump that Lot knew about this. If he really knew that they were going to be attacked, he should tell them, don't stay here, it's not a safe place, and Lot himself wouldn't stay there. So I wouldn't make that jump and say that he knew that the strangers, or the angels, actually, were going to be attacked. That's a new piece of information that's as the story unfolds in his mind, he's reacting. And again, this is all to impart to both Lot and to us, because God wrote it in the Torah, to teach us what was going on over here, why Lot got saved. But you see, again, it describes that Lot was trying to present some sort of a system. Don't take the men, take my daughters. Even though to us that sounds crazy, but he still was working with some sort of a system. And the men, on the other hand, were not. Okay, so that's really the crucial part. What would, you know, the crucial element to take away. All right? And it's because they rejected the, you want to judge over us? We're going to be more evil to you. That's crucial. Okay, I think I explained that. That you want to try to present any type of a justice system? That's just the opposite of what Sodom was about. And lo, we're now going to be more evil to you than we were going to be to the men. Okay. Now, I asked also earlier, what is, and I don't have an answer for this question, so I'm opening it up to you. I don't have an answer to, what does it mean they smote them with blindness? What is that? Is it merely just a preventive measure? And you could also ask, why didn't they just kill all of Sodom at that point? Then we could just say that we'd have to wait till Lot's out of the city before they destroy. Okay? So that I think we could say. It is interesting, one thing which I do have a possibility for, and that is why initially it says that the men who came to Lot's house originally, they were, and what was the range of the men? They were from the youth to the elderly. It doesn't say the young people to the adults. It says the youth to the elderly, which talks about them in a sense of like a societal reference. There's the youth of the society, and then there's the elderly of the society. So what I say on that is that it would appear that it's trying to highlight a clear blurring of the lines of what the different levels of a society are supposed to have. Meaning the elderly in society are supposed to be the teachers. But here you have the elderly as being just as much involved in the sexual gratification as the young. And the abuse of this. Okay? I'm not sure, Brian, what you're writing about affecting the mindsets. You can elaborate on that. Okay, so it's telling us in terms of the crime, the criminal activity, so they're described when they come to attack, when they initiate their hostile offense against these men, it talks about them as the youth to the elderly coming to the house. When the angels smite them with the blindness, it says simply from the youngest to the oldest. Meaning there was no distinction made in terms of punishment. So when punishment is being administered, it doesn't talk about the strata of society. So I'm just trying to make an inroad there. But those are that and also the question about the blindness were the two that I can't say. I don't have an answer at all for the blindness, so if you have an answer. Unless, Brian, you're trying to give that answer. You're trying to say the blindness means they try to affect their mindset. But just making them blind, I don't see how that helps. It just stops them from physical activity. And Sterling, you're writing, I think they would have had to smite them if God was revealing the inner person of that entire community. All right. Shoshana, you write, in my opinion, the blindness was something within that is actually a rein in from the Shema. I say this from experience, a higher self in a really personally telling point or moment. But this was externally inflicted upon them, Shoshana. The angels smote them with blindness. And Sterling, you're right. So without question, God would just eliminate them. You're right. I mean, that's why he waited, because Lot had to be saved. And Shoshana, you're saying that you don't view Hashem as a puppeteer. No, of course not. God does not coerce. There are only four times in history that the Rambam talks about, the Torah talks about, where God hardened somebody's heart. Paro, the Canaanites, Sihon, and the Jews on one occasion. But that was because they sinned so grievously that it was the punishment was that God took away their ability to do tshuva. Okay, I understand, Shoshana. And Sterling, you're writing, it also shows the power of the eyes in relation to the people, and thus human instinct can be affected by what we see. Okay. I mean, it could also just be nothing more than just trying to protect Lot, but you see also that the angels didn't bring in Lot until after he spoke up and tried to offer some sort of a justice. I think that's indicative also, as I was saying, it shows you why he had the merit for the angels to pull him back to the hounds. Because since Lot spoke up and tried to be just, even on some level, but that was enough to save him from the fate of Sodom. So that's why then the angels pulling Lot into the house is immediately subsequent to Lot speaking and offering some sort of justice. And Sterling, you're writing, I was saying God would be just in Lot's sight when he eliminated them, right? And Brian, that they might evaluate their behavior and know that they're afflicted with blindness. All right, so Brian, you're suggesting it was some sort of a measure to try to get them to repent. I don't know if I would say that because they were already there. The angels were already there, meaning the destruction was at hand. It was imminent. The only thing was that Lot had to be saved before they destroyed the city. Okay, so let me see if you have any comments or questions. All right, it's a whole different understanding of the story. We're actually seeing how we have to be so sensitive to the words in order to really understand what God wants to communicate to us. Yes, Sterling. Sodom was destroyed, as stated in the Torah. That's clear. But the information and that the whole vision that God was giving information to Lot and also to us as the Torah readers, that was taking place in the vision. Just like in Abraham's vision, he saw himself running to serve the angels, the men. Nonetheless, in his real waking state, Abraham had that perfection. So, similarly by Bilam, when he was traveling on the donkey, and he was talking to the donkey, and the donkey's talking back, and he's, so clearly it's a vision of some sort, because a person doesn't just respond to a donkey that starts talking to you. That's one of the clues in that story that indicates that it's a vision, because typically a person won't just respond to an animal that talks. We discussed that. But that doesn't preclude the fact that Bilam also, in his waking state, traveled to Balak, who was the king of Moab. That happened too. But the vision is to give us information about the conflict that he was going through. God wants to illustrate, using Bilam, how the human mind works, the conflicts that people go through. So it uncovers it in certain stories. So Shoshana, you're saying that everything starts with will, action ends it. Is that the overall here? Well, that's a very, very brief. I think it might be too succinct. But, I mean, again, what you're saying is true. The story is telling us about the will of Lot as opposed to the will of the Sodomites. And then what the actual subsequent action that actually took place on Earth. And again, it teaches us too how God uses prophecy to indicate information to teach man. Okay, so let me see if there's any questions or comments. Sterling, what did you ask? Yes, Sterling, yes. Sodom was destroyed, as stated in the Torah. I was saying that the vision is one thing, but the actual destruction took place. And I think there's a verse let me a second here. 1 second. Okay, if you take a look at verse 19:27, it says that Avram awoke in the morning. He arose in the morning, and he went to the place where he stood, and he had the vision with God, and he looked out on the face of Sodom and Amorah, and the entire face of the land, and he saw that the whole thing went up in like a tremendous smoke, like a smoke cloud of an urn. So you see that Avram, it says he woke. Now it's talking about a waking state, and you see that Avram is seeing these cities are devastated, and they're completely, they're smoldering. The smoke is going up, like smoke coming out of an urn. So that's telling you that it really did take place, to answer your question, Sterling, right? So you see, God made sure the Torah contained the verse that says that Abraham woke up in the morning, so we know clearly he's not in the vision anymore, and he sees that Sodom is destroyed, and it's completely smoking. So that proves that it actually took place. I don't really have an answer on the blindness, Brian. I thought about it. But I did see a very interesting article that they found an ancient tablet that had inscriptions that they date back approximately to the time of Sodom. And it talks about a meteor. And that it hit the tip of a mountain of some sort and created a great explosion, which would be very similar to the effects the Torah describes. Let me just see if I can pull that up for you and give you a link so you can take a look. Actually, we did a Jewish Times issue that had a picture of that. So I'm going to see if I can... Give me 1 second. Let me see if I can put a link on here for you. Yeah. Here's an issue. I just put the link on screen. So if you go to that link, you'll see an issue of the Jewish Times where we reprinted the image and the story. I was on page 2, I believe, of that article. All right, and it's a good companion to the class today, so you may want to download and take a look at that Jewish Times issue 439. So I just put that link on screen, and you can take a look at that. And you'll find it quite interesting in terms of that tablet that they found. We just reprinted the story, but of course we had other articles in that were relevant. Okay, Shoshana, you're welcome. Okay, any other questions or comments? Be on the class today, or usually afterwards. I like to just make available your questions on other topics if you have them. And let me just wait for Shoshana has a question. Last minute question. Every Sunday night, my husband leads a class of Noahite men that my husband is a Jew and gives them these recordings. I'm glad to hear, Shoshana. Yeah, use all the resources on Masorah. Glad to help. There's plenty of articles, too, that I've addressed specifically for Noahites. So you'll see that in the philosophy link. Brian, you're asking, why do we have Jews today that favor justification of such behavior in this current age? Well, you always have people's instincts that are going to overcome them in all societies. And the truth is, it's much easier to cave to our instincts than to control them and follow morality. So we will, unfortunately, always see people that will cave. And Shoshana, you're writing Noahite. And you're writing typo. Okay, anything else? Okay. Hold on 1 second. Yes, hello. Shoshana, I would go there to the philosophy page. You see the link on the left, and you'll see there's no Chayt section. But definitely go into, you know, the section in the philosophy about God, I mean, the primary, the fundamentals. Those the Noahides have to know as well, just equal to Jews. So all those areas are important to, for him to share. Okay, it looks like sometimes the audio goes on and off. Well, listen, technology is not perfect. And Shoshana, you're writing, in the future, I am going to stop and look back before I enter or do... Okay, no problem. Don't worry about the typos, Shoshana. I make plenty of them. You'll find them in the Jewish Times. You'll find them on the website. I found them in ancient books. There are typos. Hi, Gabriel. Thank you. Okay, so if there's no other questions, I guess we'll wrap it up for today. And Shoshana, again, feel free to look through, be in touch. You can write me an email if you want anything specific that you're looking for. I'll try to, and you could also use the search feature. There's a search link on the left, halfway down, to look for articles by keywords. You could also search through the Jewish Times. Okay, Shoshana, my pleasure. Yoni, my pleasure. Thanks for joining again. Okay, God, we'll go next week, which is Tisha B'Av. We'll do something on, not sure what we'll do yet. We'll do something in the afternoon, probably about this time, on Tisha B'Av, whether it'll be Eiv or the destruction of the temple, you know, something which we're not, because we're not allowed to learn most areas on Tisha B'Av. Brian, my pleasure. Sterling, my pleasure. Glad you could join and hear the audio. I'm glad we got everything fixed. Sterling, are you listening on a tablet, a mobile phone, or a desktop?